damage accrues over time. That is true.
Battle damage.
Yeah. By the end of the movie, she is a massive bruises. But
so Atomic Blonde worth seeing in the theater?
I would say so. Yeah.
Is it worth 3D or IMAX?
No. I mean, I don't know what you're getting out of 3D. It's all pretty.
What movies are worth 3D? Well, I mean, really.
Well, you know, some movies say they add, it adds to the experience.
I think Larry and I actually were in a rare moment of agreement when we both said that Doctor Strange was worth seeing in 3D because
that was a badass movie.
It was pretty cool. And especially because of all the set bending and time warping and everything, 3D does actually add a lot to that. But this one, nah, you can just see it 3D.
Well, this is Geeks of the Square Table, episode 170. I'm your host, Lawrence of America. And today with me is...
your new NASA Planetary Defense Officer, Adam.
Taylor, what?
You didn't hear?
No.
NASA has officially put out a job listing. NASA is hiring a Planetary Defense Officer. This job is going to pay somewhere between $120,000 a year to $180,000 a year.
And what is this going to involve?
This person is supposed to come up with defense plans against potential alien attacks and ways to defend the planet against asteroids and whatnot.
Not to be too blunt, but that is not a job I trust you with, Adam.
Why not? Why not?
Because that sounds like it's really fucking hard.
It's really, really hard to defend us against aliens.
But
I would say so, yeah.
Okay,
I mean, aliens are advanced enough that they can like do interplanetary light speed travel. Yeah,
No. That job is great. By the time anybody figures out you don't know what you're doing, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You may ruin the existence of the human race, but you will never get fired.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a bit of a glass half full kind of situation there. Like, well, I've doomed us all, but hey, I got paid for a good little run there.
I mean, realistically, what is the chances of us being attacked by an alien species within my lifetime?
That is a fair point. I mean, there is a reasonable chance you will never be called upon to step up and save the Earth.
Do we re-elect Trump or not? These affect the odds. Because if there are aliens out there, I'm sure we'll build a space wall.
And I would like to personally thank the Trump administration for my wonderful drive home today. It was great.
Vice President in town giving a speech.
Listeners at large, yeah, we live in Middle Tennessee here, and the Vice President was in town today, which of course means interstate closures.
Yep. And they can't tell you which one.
I mean,
we had to come through the airport, so it had to be 40.
They don't disclose the actual two of them
at least.
Yeah, and there's only three.
Yeah.
Well, three and a half if you count 440.
I'm glad I wasn't trying to get across national today. All my business kept me in the...
That's why I didn't go pick... Thankfully, my wife had to work late. She's like, well, just don't worry about picking me up at the normal time. And you know, then I heard that, and I was like, well, I couldn't have picked you up at the normal time anyway. So it just worked out perfectly. I'm like, I guess I'm just going to stay on this side of town until later.
Fortunately, I did not have that option.
Now, when is he speaking now?
He is at the Music City Center. They're doing like a whole dinner thing and whatnot there. So,
I guess that'll be done.
Late-ish. I don't know.
Will it affect
you? Going up.
That's
so
good. That's good.
See, it may affect my computer.
Oh, sorry, Larry. At least it only affected you one time today, then, not multiple times.
Because, you know, I mean, I live right over by the airport, so...
Oh, yeah, it'll definitely affect your commute. But hey, enough about our daily commutes.
Hey, Traffic Talk 101, I mean, hey. Is that not what they tune in for?
That
probably
is.
Probably not,
it
I'm
is.
Guessing.
Well, I do remember one time we had an entire episode where we did nothing but talk about the decaying state of our interstate system, so...
You know, now that I think on it, it does come up more often than you would think, but it ostensibly should not be with about our... talking.
Hey man, I started it off nerdy. I started it off with talking about NASA.
We also had a podcast where we talked about the inaccuracies of a tank, the tank use of The Walking Dead. So,
well, yeah, I believe Redshirt Steve was in that one. So
yeah, he
that
was.
That makes sense.
I've been spending a lot of my summer doing summer school with some different students. One of them, one I've known for a while. He had to take a U.S. history course recovery class, and the kid is obsessed with tanks. He plays a game called War Thunder. I don't know much about it.
Does he play World of Tanks?
I think he does play World of Tanks. I'm not entirely sure what all he plays, but the games he plays has heavy tank usage. And when we got to World War One and World War Two, the kid would not let it go with the tanks, even though they were barely used in World War One.
They were still around.
A lot of what I had to talk about was kind of like disabusing him of a bunch of notions that he picked up from playing Battlefield 1. When there were armored trains everywhere. No, in fact, they were not. They were very seldomly used, Chris.
Tanks weren't common in trench warfare.
No, not especially. I mean, once they had started using tanks, that was a real game changer. Because it kind of derailed trench warfare. So... that much is true, but...
Yeah. Well, you know, and of course, I guess trench warfare caused the need for tanks. And
yeah, I mean, a real impetus for bumping up that technology,
yeah,
along with
yeah.
planes. Planes got a huge lead forward thanks to World War
II. Which, yeah, and didn't, like, the original tanks, weren't they actually, like, used for transporting or something? Like, weren't some of the earliest tanks French tanks that were used to transport water to the front line?
That sounds about right, but I'm not sure about that one. One thing I am sure about is that planes were originally used for reconnaissance, and the first time they started fighting with planes, it was literally them just throwing rocks at people from, 30 yards.
And dead bodies. You have to get dead bodies. They do that, too.
Catapults.
So, kind of a... inauspicious start to playing warfare. But,
anytime you throw rocks at each other, it's a good time.
Yeah,
it's a good time.
And, you know, in archery and original warfare, they didn't actually aim to hit people like we think of in modern archery. Where
you just aimed
they
up.
They just launched as
yeah.
many as they could up in the air. And the crossbow
and you just hope you don't hit your own guys.
So they wouldn't have to train people. Because they figure anybody could pull a trigger.
Crossbow is kind of the dumbing down of archery.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hawkeye would be ashamed.
Well, Hawkeye would have the advantage, though, because the good thing about normal archery is to reload, you just go like that. Whereas the crossbow, you have to crank that thing back up, unless you have a repeating one. Which...
that's true. And Hawkeye, being a superhero, does get to do some preposterously uncanny things with
exactly.
I've never seen a crank crossbow.
That's because you live in the 21st century where we have guns.
This is true.
My crossbow, I just pulled. It has a foot lag.
You actually have a crossbow?
Yes. I do.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised if you have a crossbow. I am a little bit. Why do you have a crossbow, Larry?
You know, to fight off dragons.
Why not?
As good a response as any, I guess. Now,
because I got a good deal on it.
How much does a crossbow run for? I honestly don't know.
Well, I mean, legitimately, they do sell compound crossbows for handicapped hunters, and they run, you know, $300 to $500, depending on how nice they are, just comparable to a bow. This particular crossbow I have is a discontinued style. It's a recurve bow, and it's from the 50s.
I mean, that is objectively a badass thing to have. Yeah.
It goes with my hand axe.
I guess now that we've established you have a crossbow, I shouldn't be at all surprised that you have a hand axe.
No, no.
Which did you have first, the crossbow or the hand axe?
The hand axe.
Okay. Well, you are most of the way towards having a functioning first level fighter.
He looks like a dwarf fighter, doesn't he? A little bit?
Yeah.
A little bit with that beard?
I mean, you're too tall, obviously, but you are a scaled up version of a dwarf fighter.
You say that, and I think, well, you know, when I look at it that way, I should have bought the Riot Shield.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Riot Shields are a good asset in D&D.
See, then the Riot Shield, the crossbow with the hand axe.
Now that you're like, you know, I should have bought the Riot Shield, that brings up the fact that you were looking to buy a Riot Shield at some point. Why were you looking to buy a Riot Shield? What riots are you in?
It's one of those things, you know, it's on eBay. Why not?
How much are they asking for?
They depend on the level, but, you know, they're surprisingly cheaper than you would think. Because apparently the resale value is really low.
If I had a Riot Shield, there might come a time where I'm depending on it to save my life. I don't know if I want to depend on the bargain basement Riot Shield when it gets to that point.
Well, where else are you going to get a Riot Shield, though?
That's a fair point. I mean, I assume that even if you're part of SWAT, they probably don't let you take it home with you.
Probably not. I mean, the riot shields that are on eBay are probably ones that were stolen from cops during riots, so...
Well, sometimes police departments sell them to
afford
to get new ones, you know.
That's true. I mean, I guess you could go to an Army surplus store or something.
I have to look up the price of a riot shield. Okay.
While you're there, I guess look for like a good like handheld melee weapon.
See, they've got some new ones, but they're not bulletproof. They're
well, then what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of weak ass riot are you going to where you don't have to have it bulletproof?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, that's crowd control riot shields.
At some point tonight, I will.
Let's see, here's a police style campus security one for only $30. I mean,
that could probably stop like an errant tomato thrown at you. Or?
Probably.
Right, right. I mean,
classic military.
See, a Polish military surplus police one. That one's like $150.
It's okay though, you get free shipping.
Yeah.
Which is shipping's probably a bitch with that thing because it's so big.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if they'll let you actually sell bulletproof ones as well.
I don't think I get that because I don't think it's bulletproof. Doesn't sound like it's inherently dangerous to other people, you know, so I'm not sure why that would be...
Well, you remember a while back there was those bank robbers that weren't full bulletproof gear?
I guess
they were in a shootout with the LA police. A couple of thousand rounds were fired, and they ended up shooting themselves.
So what's the point of getting the bulletproof stuff if you're just going to shoot yourself?
Well, they were finally surrounded and given up and running out of ammo, and the cops couldn't kill them. They just... Some people say that maybe they were trying to reload and accidentally shot themselves. But it was like a 20-minute shootout. They didn't get out of town fast enough, got surrounded.
It's probably because they were weighed down by all that bulletproof armor.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good point. I mean, pro tip from being able to take punishment is not as important as being able to get away. You will inevitably lose if you get stuck in one spot. So aspiring bank robbers out there turned into our podcast for helpful advice.
They do say that most of the bank robbers that actually get away or leave, you know, the area within before the police show up, you know, actually do tend to get away. Now,
gotta have a good getaway driver.
Yeah, like in Baby Driver.
You
ever see it?
Great movie.
It was a great movie.
Well, I did not see that.
You should.
It's worth a watch. Worth watching theaters.
Oh, get that surround sound.
Great soundtrack. Well,
you know, these things are a lot cheaper than I last remember. This one says can stop a 44 mag, and it's only $100.
Are you gonna
body armor?
Arsenal there, Larry?
You never know.
It's got a
level 384. But do you really want to be on the list of somebody who's bought a bulletproof?
Well, you are on the list of somebody who's bought a crossbow and a hand axe.
Yeah, I feel
so.
Like you've crossed
allegedly.
The Rubicon on that.
Allegedly.
Yeah, that threshold has been passed already.
Crossbows like aren't on a registered list.
I'm just saying, if you were on a watch list, it would have happened with the crossbow and the hand axe.
Oh, if I was on a watch list, it would have happened with a lot of things in my teens, but I won't.
Luckily, back then, they didn't.
Let's not say anything too implicated here on the podcast.
Okay.
I've been cleared of those charges.
I'm glad to hear it. Oh, then I guess in comic news, DC's kicked off their Jack Kirby Tribute Month.
Yep. A lot of New Gods stuff hitting the stands.
I was one day late. The New Gods special is sold out, I saw.
Don't worry, I picked it up. I'm sure it's not that great anyway. The New Gods. It's a really good concept. It was made by one of the greatest creators of all time, but unfortunately, anything not done by Kirby, with the exception of Darkseid, hasn't really picked up that well.
I mean, if nothing else, the New Gods are important just because Darkseid works so well as kind of like the uber villain of the DC universe.
You're right. And, you know, it's still important to Marvel, too, because without Darkseid, there wouldn't be any Thanos.
Or Apocalypse.
Or Apocalypse.
Yeah. Darkseid is one of the more ripped off characters out there.
Yep.
Ironically, with Thanos, originally he was ripped off of Ultron.
Yeah.
In his first appearance, he was this skinny little shit who like just sat in his chair the whole time. But
he
then,
still
like,
sits in his chair all the time.
He does, but Jim Shooter apparently went to Jim Starlin and said, "Look, if you're gonna rip off one of the New Gods, rip off Darkseid."
Yeah, no shit.
More or less a direct quote. I'm not even kidding. And so we got. You know what's funny in that is that at the rate of things going, when Avengers Infinity War comes out next year, and then DC introduces Darkseid.
Yeah, people are going to be like, "Why are you ripping off Thanos?"
Yeah, people are already thinking that. Yeah, you know, oh, Justice League is just ripping off the Avengers, and it's going to be, oh well, Darkseid, they just ripped off Thanos, and oh how ironic that'll be.
Yeah, well.
Oh, well.
Yeah. That's the way of things.
Indeed.
It's not about who's first, it's about who's more popular. Who's in the public eye first?
Yeah. Although, based off of the track records, I'm assuming that Infinity Wars is going to be much better than Justice League 2 or whatever it is they introduced Darkseid.
Based off track record, you would be correct.
Are we looking forward to Justice League, anyone here?
Well, I mean, I enjoyed the Wonder Woman movie.
I did enjoy the Wonder Woman, but that was the exception and not the rule. So who cares?
Right. So that makes it... I'm willing to bet that there's a lot more Wonder Woman in that Justice League movie now than there was originally planned on.
I am definitely interested in the Justice League movie, but I wouldn't say excited is the word that...
Because right now it seems like it'd be... I mean, a lot better without Superman, but you couldn't really call
it Superman's in it, though. There's a whole big ordeal right now about having to digitally remove his mustache.
Wait, what?
You haven't heard about that yet?
Why didn't he just shave his mustache?
Because he can't. He can't. The actor, Henry Cavill, he's currently doing Mission Impossible 6, and contractually, he has to have a mustache. But they need him... for a bunch of reshoots for Superman, so he can't shave this mustache, so they're going to have to spend millions of dollars to digitally remove his mustache from all of these scenes that he has to reshoot for Justice League.
And they're having to reshoot it because they want to add more.
Well, they want to add actually more Superman, because Superman apparently only really interacts with... as it is right now, only interacts mostly with Batman and Wonder Woman, and he doesn't really interact with any of the other Justice Leaguers, so they kind of want to give him more scenes interacting with more people.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, I'm not against that.
I think he should just keep the stash. You know, I think it probably costs less to add the stash to the seat that it's not
just
there.
Go all
than
in
to
and just have him have like the resurrection beard.
Yeah, I mean,
have it in the comics, but like I could buy him.
Let's just give him the mullet too. You know, yeah. Just go full out. If you're gonna do it, do it.
I could buy him coming out of his like doomsday coma, not clean shaven. You know, it seems like an easier solution.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I guess what if he.
And you know, it's got to be really hard to get kryptonite razors for him to shave, because...
Well, that's a long-held nerd debate and discussion. How does Superman shave?
Well, I imagine he just looks at a mirror and just, you know, eye-beams it all off. You know?
That's a popular thing. I've seen that in comics.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really shave, he gets the laser treatment.
Exactly.
Gillette had a thing one time where they asked a bunch of celebrities their take on how Superman shaves. Bill Nye the Science Guy weighed in and said he probably, rather than just like hacking at it with a saw, he has like a, like if he goes at it at a certain angle, it reduces the tension to a certain degree that it might work. Kevin Smith had the dumbest explanation, and he just used bits of his rocket ship for Krypton, which has no fucking reason to be especially tough, because the Krypton rocket ship doesn't absorb fucking yellow rays like Superman does. Not everything from Krypton gets superpowers on Earth. Just the
Oh, Kevin Smith.
Whatever. Oh, but I was at the movie theater earlier today and I saw the Justice League poster, and they included all the heroes' emblems and all the words.
Oh, that one?
And Superman's was in it, so they really are not playing it close to the chest at all. It's assuredly in the movie.
He hasn't shown up in any of the trailers yet or anything, but it's... Everybody pretty much knows.
They talked about him a lot in the most recent trailer.
Yes.
I mean, it was kind of weird the way they talked about him. It's like, Superman was more than a hero. He was a symbol of hope. And as we were talking about before, since fucking when? That's not the tone they established in either Man of Steel or Batman v Superman.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, he saved a lot of people, sure, but he was, you know, very mopey and gloomy the whole time. Hardly like a symbol of inspiration.
Right, he was a symbol of hope that leveled half a city.
Yeah, I mean, half the world is calling for him to be put on trial and all that other stuff. So. Yeah, not exactly the unequivocal symbol of hope that they're talking about here in this trailer. But,
yeah.
I'm sure it'll have a lot of cool moments in it.
I'm sure.
But I'm not sure I'll go see a week one.
Oh, I definitely won't go see a week one.
Yeah, that's probably the right call.
Yeah, it's definitely not worth fighting a crowd to go see it.
Okay, so won't go see it week one, but I hope to hear good word of mouth.
I don't know. Probably won't see it in the theaters at all, because I waited till the DVD release to see Suicide Squad and Wonder Woman. So.
At least one of those panned out.
Yeah, one of those panned out.
Yeah. You know what's crazy about Suicide Squad is that they're doing several spin-offs now. They're doing a Gotham City Sirens movie.
Actually, I heard they're not doing that anymore.
Oh, they're not?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But I don't know. What the hell do I know? I don't know shit.
Well, I'll take your word for it, but at least at one point they were planning on...
I heard they were just going to Harley Quinn, which they should do Sirens instead of just Quinn. Cause
well, apparently it's going to be a Joker Harley movie.
Oh, okay. Well, even then, I still think the Sirens would be better than that.
Yeah, but do you trust them? I mean, it's a cool concept, but do you trust them not to screw it up?
I don't trust Warner Brothers to not screw up. Warner Brothers has screwed up every DC character, with the exception of Batman, 90% of the time.
Yeah.
The other 10%, they did screw up Batman.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Batman and Robin.
You know,
I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love Batman and Robin. It is a fantastic movie, but it is total shit.
It's the best kind of shit, though.
Exactly.
It's the same kind of shit that they have the exact same kind of shit, but they're both enjoyably bad. Bad Independence Day.
Yeah.
I enjoy the hell out of watching them. Oh my god, they're awful. Wait, it doesn't transfer over. Which is worse, Batman and Robin or Batman Forever?
Batman and Robin is worse.
They're both pretty.
But I enjoy Batman and Robin more because it's worse.
Yeah.
I guess Batman Forever, like Jim Carrey,
I will say
the top, but he didn't have Arnold. I will say, amazing one.
Exactly, but I will say Tommy Lee Jones is by far the worst Batman villain of all time. Because this Two-Face was awful.
He was. He really half-assed that one.
It was awful.
Yeah. That was a really bad Two-Face. But I guess that was from an era when they didn't really take themselves seriously when they made comic book movies.
No.
They were either, like, really corny or, like, mopey, broody shit fests. So, what's else going on in the world?
What's up with you, Larry? Haven't caught up with you in a while.
Well, now, the listeners may have noticed there's been a little bit of gap between the podcasts. I was down and out for a while and, not feeling very well. I'm back to my normal grouchy self. Did get some neat comics in, of course the big one was the first appearance of Juggernaut / Origin of Professor X. X-Men 12. That was pretty cool. Come in, it's pretty decent shape and everything, got a bunch of old fun comic books in,
I also got a first appearance of Doctor Doom back there, which
Was
extremely cool.
Yeah, that one we got in probably about a month ago. Which technically would be a bigger one than the first Juggernaut, but
I mean, both are cool. I mean, Juggernaut's one of those villains who, like, I don't even know why he works so well, but he does.
He's just a badass, man.
He is. I mean, he's kind of like the ultimate physical force.
Exactly. There's always something to say about just being a badass.
Yeah. I mean, there's kind of, I guess, a bit of an empowerment fantasy there. Like, he can just, anywhere he wants to go, he can just go there and just walks through everything. He's more or less indestructible.
Yeah.
To the point
where he's not indestructible, he's unstoppable. That's his power.
Well, yeah, but he can also take punches from, like, Thor and Superman. He actually did take a punch from Superman in that one DC Marvel crossover. Which was great, but
I always forget about that. The one where Superman held Mjolnir and Cap Shield.
That one was good. JLA Avengers, I Defended the Dead. That was good. I'm talking about Marvel versus DC. That was the one where they had fan voting.
Oh, that's...
fights, and it led to some idiotic fight results.
Like what?
Like Storm beating Wonder Woman.
That's bullshit.
Or Wolverine beating Lobo.
Yeah.
I mean, Lobo heals as well as Wolverine, and he's also, like, physically as strong as Superman. So, he can't possibly be him. That one was crap. The Marvel versus DC one. It also featured Ben Reilly Spider-Man instead of real Spider-Man, which, in retrospect, is kind of a crappy thing to have for your big super company crossover thing.
Well, at the time, that's who they had. So
they had him fight Superboy, who's not my first choice to include in the DC All-Stars list.
No.
But then again, they also had Robin fight
Jubilee. Did Ben Reilly win that fight?
Ben Reilly did win that fight.
Of course he did.
Okay, so that's the thing, is like, when you make it a vote-in thing, it's a popularity
contest. It's a popularity contest. It's not a who would actually win.
Of course Spider-Man is going to win. Of course Batman is going to win. Of course Superman is going to win. It doesn't really matter. Like, of course Wolverine is going to win. Although I'm a bit surprised Storm beat Wonder Woman, though. Like, even out of a popularity thing.
Well, at one point, you know.
This was in the 90s.
Yeah, X-Men was pretty big.
We were at, the cartoon was out.
I mean, Wonder Woman is part of the Trinity at DC, but realistically, Wonder Woman doesn't.
Yeah, I I mean,
doesn't really push that many books.
Wonder Woman's probably not on the same tier of characters. Like, the three biggest characters in comics are undeniably Superman, Batman, and Spider-Man.
Yes.
They are characters that everyone knows, even if you've never read a comic in your life. Wonder Woman, people know her, but she's just not quite at that same tier as those two. But see, Storm isn't either, though, so I'm still a bit...
But Storm's associated with the X-Men, and sure. The X-Men, by far, is the most known team.
The X-Men as a whole, yeah, are definitely more popular.
Well,
and Storm is part of the most popular iteration, so...
She is one of the more visible,
I think most people don't think of Wonder Woman as the demigod, you know, they think of her as an Amazonian, so they don't think of her as having superpowers, just being a super badass.
You know what would be a kick-ass crossover? Asgard versus Themyscira.
Pretty interesting.
A Wonder Woman Thor crossover.
Let's got one left.
I think that would be pretty cool. You got like two warrior cultures,
especially if you do it with the. With take from the Azzarello run and not from the Greg Rucka run, and use all those Greek gods and stuff.
Yeah.
That would be a really fun crossover.
I'd read the hell out of that. Yeah, DC, Marvel, if you're listening.
Ah, they're not going to do that shit.
No.
Have we seen the end of the DC Marvel crossovers?
I mean, there haven't been that many.
Yeah, there really haven't been that many.
I mean, they've done, like, Spider-Man-Batman crossovers. They've done Silver Surfer-Green Lantern crossovers.
You know, DC does crossovers with other publishers all the time.
Well, I mean, like, Star Trek-Green Lantern was...
Yeah.
That's still going on, isn't it?
They're doing the second one, yeah. They're doing a Batman in the Shadow.
They did Batman-Ninja Turtles.
Exactly, yeah. So...
Huge.
In the past, Marvel's done a lot too. They've done Marvel Transformers. They've done
Marvel owned the license to Transformers.
More
at that
recently,
point.
I think they did
That was like
in the 2000s.
Yeah, that was like 10 years ago. Yeah. They did
did
Transformers.
They have the
license that they did? No, they didn't have the license then. It was published by IDW, but.
Okay.
Transformers isn't really a Disney movie, though, is it?
No. But back in the 80s, they had the license to
way
do.
In the way back, yeah, Marvel, I guess Hasbro had a thing to do with that, I don't know.
Yeah, Hasbro licensed out ROM and Transformers and a couple other books to Marvel to do the books for.
Yeah. Oh, Marvel actually also originally published Star Wars.
Yeah.
They do again now, of course, but like the first ever Star Wars anything, as far as I know, was a Marvel comic book. It came out before the movie, I think.
I'm trying to math it out right now. Everybody can move. These guys can move 16.
Yeah.
Let's go get this charge.
That was another poster I saw at the movie theater today. It was the Star Wars one. It looked pretty kick-ass. It's a Rey holding up a lightsaber, kind of beam of light, like Luke's on one side, and kind of looks on the other.
Well, it's your typical Star Wars poster. They all don't really divert too much from them.
There's something to be said for... Using a classic look, especially when it was a classic look established by you.
Yeah. I don't know. My only problem with the Star Wars posters is they're always super crowded. There's always a lot going on in them.
There's a lot of business going on.
Yeah.
Well, they always want you to know every character you can see in the movie and your favorite characters on.
They want you to know which toy to buy.
I am looking forward to that. That's
yeah.
Even though, once again, they're not really telling us anything about it beforehand. But I guess they're not.
Well, they don't have to. It's Star Wars. Star Wars sales, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, the people that are going to see it have already decided they're going to see it.
Yeah. I mean, really, their trailer could just be like
a date?
Yeah,
call it a day.
Yeah, a date and a shot of the title, and that they don't have to show you anything else at all. Oh, well.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a few people that might be on the borderline of waiting to go see it, but...
Who?
I don't know.
I think everybody who's decided to go see it the second they finished watching the last one, you know.
This is probably true.
Anybody who would have been on the edge about it would have decided then. But hey. That
makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Hey, doesn't Defenders come out sometime this month?
Yeah, it comes out, in like a week or two. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to them actually telling a good Iron Fist story.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate that their one... Or sorry, the one that came out most recently was the least well-received.
Well, you know, they didn't seem like they had a very fine, well-defined plan when they went into making that show.
Yeah.
And the plans that they did have was just doing all of the heavy lifting for building up the plot for the Defenders.
You know, I never did finish watching
it. It gets a little better towards the end.
Okay, I'll take your word for it, because I'm probably not going to go watch it.
But that's only because they actually decide to start doing stuff at that point. That show just meandered for forever.
It did. I mean, I stuck with it for, I think, 5-6 episodes, and... It feels like all the stuff they did could have been accomplished in 2.
Yeah, pretty much.
Then I just stopped watching for a while, and I just never worked up the momentum to get back into it again. So it wasn't like this catastrophic moment where, like, oh, well, I've done this. It was just, you know, it fizzled out for me. I have no interest in watching this to the end, so I'm not going to go out of my way to do it.
Well, I wonder when these Netflix shows are going to start showing up, you know, on over the air. Or, you know, or
probably never. I mean, why would they do that? The whole point is that you have to go to Netflix to watch them.
You're selling the network. They sell them on certain channels. I could see them doing runs on, like, AMC or something like that.
Well, I guess that if you were to pick a channel, AMC, I guess, is the most thematically appropriate one, but I guess what's the incentive for Netflix, though? I mean,
yeah.
People...
The whole point is to sell subscriptions.
Netflix is super fucking popular.
Yeah.
And they've got to compete. They must know, if they have any self-awareness, that for every one subscription that's being paid for, there's 5 or 6 people mooching off of it. So...
That is...
Well, they do let you mooch.
I just feel like you got to keep your clutches on your exclusive stuff as well you can, so that you don't give people even more of an excuse to not get a subscription. You
know? Well, I don't see why they don't have the traditional channels at this point.
Because the whole point is you get to choose what you watch whenever you want to.
Right, but it would be
by
like
having
a channel.
But by having a channel, you're forced to watch whatever they put up on there.
But what I'm saying is, if you saw episode 1 or 2 of Daredevil, and we're told, subscribe to Netflix, you'll get to see the rest of this.
Oh, so you're saying, like, give them just a taste?
Yeah. I mean...
Do the drug dealer tactics.
Right, and, you know, how long has Daredevil been out by now?
Oh, gosh, 3 or 4 years, I guess.
Right.
About 3, yeah.
Most of the people that are going to stream Daredevil have streamed it by now.
This is true. Yeah. As much as I like Daredevil, I've never sat down and watched it again. Actually.
Right. So, a lot of these shows, how long is the rewatchability?
How many shows do you go back and rewatch?
There's certain shows I go back and rewatch a bit, like, I can't think of any, like, dramas that I did, but, like, I do go back and watch, like, episodes of Last Week Tonight with John Holmes.
I
go back and watch certain episodes of anime. And like,
did you see the Alex Jones PC?
I did see that.
That was pretty funny.
That was pretty funny.
There was a pretty funny WB joke in there that just made me laugh my ass off.
Oh, about Michigan J. Frog?
Yeah,
about I was using this to sell water filters. You know, it's the same problem as WB. Yeah, it just made me laugh. Whatever happened to him, the Michigan J. Frog?
Well, other than being WB's mascot... it's not exactly an iconic prolific character. I mean, you're saying like one or two sketches, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much about it.
I'm somewhat mystified as to why they settled on Michigan J to be their mascot, as it were.
Because he sings, I don't know. Sings and dances around.
Yeah, but you have like, you could name like half a dozen Looney Tunes off the top of your head that everybody knows.
They don't do enough with the Looney Tunes. They need to bring those back.
They do like a revival show every now and then. They had one on, I guess like 2 to 3 4 years ago now. And I've heard it was pretty solid, but I'm afraid of that.
Yeah.
Speaking of revival shows, anybody watching The Muppet Show?
Don't have TV. So no. And even if I watched it, it wouldn't count. I mean, if I watched it, it wouldn't count for the ratings, so they'd still cancel it anyway.
I saw a few episodes where they were doing, like, the Office-style thing that they were trying out.
They canceled that show.
Yeah. It wasn't awful, but I guess it was kind of a weird way to go with it. So, no, I haven't seen their efforts after that, if they've made any so far.
No, I didn't know. I didn't hear they canceled it, but...
Yeah, they canceled that one.
Wow. Not surprised.
Did well recently, apparently. So there's that.
Yeah.
Oh, the Muppets.
Oh, I did hear recently that the guy who's the puppeteer for Kermit got into...
He got fired, didn't he?
He got fired, apparently, for... I think I heard Lewd Commons was the thing.
Yeah, apparently he's like an giant asshole.
Apparently, yeah, he was very abrasive on set. A real nightmare to work with. So I guess
those damn gay frogs.
It's not easy being green.
I guess.
I'm disappointed in you for making that joke. Really?
Why? Why? Why is he disappointed? That's a joke Kermit would make. So what's wrong with that? He's just sticking to the material.
And I don't see how you expect that joke to get made.
How are you still shocked by the lows this guy will go to?
He hasn't done the really bad puns, though.
I mean, he's not Gomer bad.
Yeah.
And he's definitely not Jules bad.
I was about to say, the one I associate most with the terrible puns is Jules. I'm not even sure why, because I can't remember a specific one.
Just anything negative you think of, you associate with Jules.
Maybe it's just part of like the web of negativity that I, you know, put on the Jules there. Yeah. Actually,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess, I'm even more disappointed than I am in that joke, though. I'm kind of disappointed that a beloved icon like Kermit the Frog had a real asshole. That's just disappointing.
Well, you know.
Well, he was a guy shoving his hand up Kermit's ass for like 20 years, so.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest way you can describe something.
And you know, kind of an asshole to do that.
Sure, no matter what, he wouldn't have lived up to Jim Henson. Yeah.
Oh no, never. Who could?
One of the great tragedies of Giant Bombs.
Was he the same Kermit guy for the past 20 years? I mean,
I don't know.
It's been a damn while.
It's been a while.
Yeah, but I mean, do we know it was that guy was doing Kermit all the time? How do we know it wasn't multiple Kermits?
I mean, honestly, I don't remember the guy's name, so...
Yeah, maybe he had to work his way up.
I honestly couldn't tell you, I don't know.
So who... had to work his way up, so...
Yeah, what does that matter that you climb to be the Kermit guy? Do you, like, start off being, like, Beakman or something?
Yeah, you start off being Beakman.
Start with Beakman, yeah. Work your way up to Gonzo, Fozzie...
Yeah,
Fager
uses Gonzo for a minute. What is the pecking order of Muppets? I actually am kind of curious about this now. Like, what is the lowest one to start off with? Are you, like, the chickens, or, like...
Yeah,
probably the chickens, yeah.
Are the rats?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, like, the tier just before you get to Kermit, you have to be, like, Gonzo or Fozzie or something. And then probably the top tier is, like, Kermit and Miss Piggy.
I guess the junior leagues would be, like, Sesame Street, you know? You gotta pay your dues being Elmo for a little while.
No, Elmo's... Elmo's got
nothing. Elmo is the top, so you gotta pay your dues as...
Well, Big Bird is up there, too.
Yeah.
Although I hope that the guy who got fired for being Kermit just recently didn't have to work on Sesame Street for a while, because then he would have been around, you know, innocent children for much of his
life. Oh, we gotta grow up at some point.
Speaking of Snuffleupagus, so I heard this story about a guy who, he went on to be a guest on Sesame Street. Apparently, like, they just wore the Snuffleupagus... The costume was so big, they like suspend it from the ceiling, and it looks like this weird dead mammoth carcass hanging from the sky.
I think I saw this interview that you're talking about. Because he talked about what an unnerving experience it is to be stuffed up and get suspended like he had like crossed the mob or something.
Right.
Snuffleupagus made some bad bets.
Took the money from some wrong people.
Yeah. Snuffleupagus. A fun name to say.
I don't think Larry can say it. He mangled it every single time he tried to say it.
Fall off,
Larry. I'm sure you can do that.
Which, of course, the whole old theory when Jim Henson was still alive is that Sesame Street was, of course, all in Big Bird's head, you know.
Well, that's kind of a creepy way to spit Sesame Street.
Well, and, you know, and Snuffleupagus was Big Bird's imaginary friend or alter ego, because he was the only one originally that could see him.
So you saying the whole of Sesame Street was in Big Bird's head, or just Snuffleupagus?
Big Bird was crazy.
Okay.
Only he saw himself as a bird.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's some dark shit, Larry. That is some
and
dark
Snuffleupagus was his imaginary friend.
It sounds like an edgy comic adaptation of Sesame Street rather than...
And so is Oscar the Grouch just some bum that he saw at the side of the road and just imagined it was a furry dude who lives in a trash can?
He could have been fuzzy. He could have needed to shave.
Okay, so what about the count? Like, how many vampires? Or, like, what person
he was seen.
I get that, but what like, real-life experience inspires crazy person Big Bird to think of a fucking counting vampire?
Late-night graveyard worker?
Who counted a lot, I guess?
Well, fun.
One scoop, two scoops, bury the bodies, two bodies. I don't like this interpretation of Sesame Street, Larry.
But it makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
This is from an innocent part of my childhood.
Was that 17?
Just leave it alone.
Hey, man, Sesame Street's on HBO now.
They can
go.
Well, that's because PBS doesn't have any funding.
Yeah.
HBO does.
It's going to be a harder, edgier Sesame Street.
Speaking of HBO,
I guess we can move forward with our Bert and Ernie relationship.
Yeah, I mean they can come out of the closet. Good for them. Yeah. Speaking of HBO, we're about halfway ish through the Game of Thrones season.
Yeah, it's been a interesting season.
I understand that, you know, they're not going to do things to make the audience happy at any point in the show, but
well,
the Lannisters are doing entirely too well right now.
I will say my biggest gripe about this season is you can definitely tell that we've moved away from the book source material, and the fact that the way events are happening in the show feels a lot more like a TV show now, as opposed to...
There is no books.
Exactly.
I was about to say, you can't blame them. They gave George R.R. a huge head start to be writing these damn books.
But it feels a lot more like it's constructed like a TV show than an adaptation.
All they have left now are the broad strokes.
Exactly.
You can't blame them at all, I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to end roughly the same way the books are going to end. Maybe not in the same way, but...
Plus, they also have fast travel
because
now.
Because the author died 20 years before he wrote the last book, or...
Oh, but that is true, Adam. They, they're not bothering with the travel scene.
No.
As far as I can tell, like, months are passing in the span of one episode. Like, as much as, like, Jamie is, like, teleporting all over the damn place.
Well, it's like, Jamie's teleporting all over the place. Jon Snow teleports from Winterfell to the other end of the damn continent, but it takes fucking forever for Arya to go from the Twins down to King's Landing. It's stupid.
Arya spent all of her level up bonuses on stealth and disguise.
Not on fast travel.
Yeah, she didn't get the teleportation spells that everyone else got.
I guess.
This makes no sense to enemy. None of this makes sense to me.
That's fine.
You know, I think it's a bit of a Freudian slip that you equated yourself with an enemy there. Like, you are your own worst enemy. That's what I took away from that. Sorry. Well, now you know how I feel whenever you guys talk about Walking Dead, because I stopped watching that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't pay... Yeah, I completely lose track when you talk about The Walking Dead.
It wasn't because I disliked it, it's just because, like... I'm not really sure why I stopped watching
it. I got tired of it.
Yeah.
They did put out some sort of promo for their 100th episode, apparently, that's going to be this season.
That's a big milestone for a show hitting 100. It's good for their syndication down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did
syndicate that show.
I did hear a rumor that
sequential. You can't just like pop on an episode and watch it.
Yeah. I did hear a rumor that that Kirkman is ending the book at some point.
He has said he has an ending in mind.
I do not have a living memory of a time when he wasn't writing Walking Dead. I can't remember how far back it goes at this point.
Do you remember the 90s?
Okay, so that was before I was reading comics. So the entire time I've been a comic book reader, Walking Dead has existed as a book that's been coming out.
When
it's following one set of characters and it's not like episodic like a superhero book.
I was about to say, do you remember Y2K? Because it was like 2002, 2003? The first one
time. Okay. I'm just saying that's a long time for a book to be running about like essentially one big story.
Well, it literally started out as I want a zombie movie that doesn't end. I don't know why people are surprised it hasn't ended. That was the whole point of it. It wasn't supposed to end.
And that's what it is. You know, it's not really even about the zombies. It's about what the world is like for the people living in the zombie
world.
Right. It's not about running from the monsters. But in the real world, things end. Including this book about a zombie movie that doesn't end.
And eventually, Kirkman's paychecks will end.
No, his paychecks will never end. That is his one quest, and he is fulfilling it very well.
Good on Kirkman. He has found that golden goose, and he is cashing in those golden eggs. I guess it's the goose that lays the golden eggs. The goose itself is not golden, that's why I misspoke just now. Oh, well.
But, yeah, I heard it was around 300 issues is what the plan.
What are they on now?
160-something.
So
I think
170
is
halfway.
Okay, so we're barely more than halfway.
Yeah, I think 170 came out this week.
I'm not even saying this to be mean. There's a good chance that the people creating this book will not be alive then by the time they get that far. We're talking
another
like,
10 years.
Yeah, we're talking 10 years in the future. Who the hell knows what's going to happen by then?
Fair enough, and yeah. You know, and he's just painting the broad strokes into it, so.
Okay. But 300 issues. That's a damn long time.
It is. Heck, by Marvel standards, 12 issues is a long time. But, I mean, we'll probably not see, if it makes it to 300, we'll probably not see another book that will make it that long. You know, you have the DC big books, you know, that are in the 900s. They're going to hit the thousands.
Yes and no, because that's kind of a cheat that they did.
Yeah.
For a while, the unbroken, the record that was probably never going to be broken is Action Comics. That made it up to, like, what, like 900-something before they renumbered it?
Yeah.
Once they renumbered that, though, we're never going to get an unbroken streak that long ever again. So, sad, but I'm sure, like you said, they are probably going to, when it's the 1,000th issue, they are almost certainly going to call it issue number 1,000, but yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah.
At least in a symbolic, like, sort of touchy-feely way. It's not the same.
Oh, well. New 52 ruined it.
I mean, really, we're surprised nowadays if you see a book make it to 50.
If a book makes it past 25 at Marvel, it's doing a damn good job.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, some of those books are cases where creative teams and characters are intact, like Jason Aaron on Thor or Geno Wilson on Miss Marvel. But they still renumbered them anyway, even though they didn't really change anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, by that logic,
well,
Jason Aaron's done well over 50 issues.
Yeah, he's done way over. His 50th issue was Unworthy Thor number one.
Well, a good one to start with. Then,
well, it's not a good one to start with. That's like,
that's
50 issues into the run.
That's a good one to be number 50. Let's see. Yeah, and then Ms. Marvel's done several dozen now.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be close.
That character's been kicking around for, I guess, 3 years now, right?
Yeah.
Which pattern? But
really, you know, if he were to let somebody else, Kirkman were to let somebody else write another character, that book could just go on forever and ever.
I don't understand why he doesn't do that. He should.
Yeah, I mean, he already let somebody write the dialogue for the main characters.
Is he really?
Yeah, yeah. No, he writes the script, the main story outline, and somebody else writes the dialogue.
This motherfucker.
He's writing like 3 books right now, and a TV show.
Oh,
like 40 shots
of
something like that.
There's Outcast.
Who is his ghostwriter?
He's not a ghostwriter. He's listed as the writer of the book. Yeah.
Churchill is a busy guy, to be sure.
They talk about it in the letters to the editor. I mean, it's in its last arc. And it actually started before. It's in the 160 range, but it started before Walking Dead.
See, they never made a TV show about that one.
Right.
If they did, I'm sure he'd, like, extend it 200 more issues.
So, Andrew,
you
can play the game. Let's see if I can bring it all night.
I'm surprised they haven't made an Invincible TV show.
I guess it probably would have be more special effect-y, I guess, than Walking Dead. Like,
yeah.
It's superheroes flying around and using superpowers and shit, so...
What about, speaking of superheroes flying around and shit, Gifted, within those trailers?
It looked okay.
You know, basically an X-Men show without the X-Men in it?
Yeah.
I mean, they're still
mutants. Yeah, they're still
mutants. Yeah.
It's a Fox show.
It very much reminds me of Heroes, only actually X-Men and the X-Men universe.
Heroes was, in its broad strokes, a ripoff of X-Men. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Right. I mean, because just like in Heroes, they were all kind of hiding from being hunted and stuff like that. Basically, the vibe I got, it was it starts out with somebody works for the Mutant Registration Authority. Kids become a mutant. So they're hiding out or whatever. I don't know. So could be interesting.
I don't think they would want to bring up Mutant Registration because that brings up bad memories of X-Men 3. That was a terrible movie.
Yes. But I don't know. Maybe time has closed that one. It's been a while. Maybe people don't even remember the movie well enough to associate it now.
I don't know. It was such a bad movie that they had to make an entirely different movie to retcon that movie out of existence.
Yeah, and then ironic, like, the retcon ones are, like, pretty mediocre, but they're not, like, outright shit.
I actually did like that movie. Yeah. Last Winter was cool.
Yeah. I was talking about X3. Which is not my Danny.
The actual bad guy in the movie wasn't the actual bad guy in the movie.
Okay.
I'm like,
the bad guy.
So which do we think is going to be more watchable? Inhumans or Gifted?
The bad guy?
Probably Gifted. I don't have high hopes for Inhumans.
Well, I definitely see the problem with Inhumans will be, I think, the same problem with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly, and I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. either.
It's definitely a spin-off.
Right, but it's going to be, you'll get halfway through the first season, and then it's going to be, oh my God, thank goodness we did this in Avengers 3, you know, in theaters now, you know, and
one of the few properties that gets to do that, where they right, have the whole TV show, movie, shared continuity thing going on.
And that's exactly why I stopped watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
At its worst, it was just essentially like them plugging the movies, like after Thor the Dark World. It's like, man, that was crazy the stuff Thor did, right, guys? You're right. If only we could have been there to watch it.
In theaters.
Yeah. It would sure make a great movie. But much the same way that Captain America Winter Soldier was an awesome fucking movie, it did awesome fucking things for that show, because the whole, like, Hydra sleeper agent thing really turned the show on its ear. That was a pretty cool twist that is aided by them sharing the continuity of that movie. It could be used to good effect, but you are right that there is always the temptation just to, like, quickly rib the audience about whatever Marvel movie is out right now, which they have done in the past. I haven't watched the most recent episode, so I don't know if they reacted to, like, Doctor Strange or anything like that, but...
We found this magic wand.
Well, they did start introducing magical elements into the show, like Ghost Rider was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I think this will do fine, be better, because it'll be less interconnected. I think that'll actually help, because
I will say I am more interested in Inhumans than I am in Gifted. But that's simply because Ramsey fucking Bolton's in it as Maximus the Mad, and that's just fantastic casting.
That is fantastic casting.
The rest of it's a wash for me, but that one element is probably the only reason why I'd watch that show.
He's gonna be a great Maximus. At least you should.
He was like, I will show up for $25.
I hope it's good.
I hope it's good. But
I'm definitely not going to go see it in IMAX.
Oh, hell no.
I don't know why.
I don't know who's going to go see that in IMAX.
I'm not sure what the decision-making process was for on that one. Oh, well. Sounds like we're winding down.
Yeah, which, do you know anybody that's going to end up subscribing to CBS.com to see the new Star Trek?
Man, that is going to be the most pirated show of all time.
It is going to be, and I may or may not be pirating it.
I will be pirating it, because there is no way in hell I'm going to pay them $10 a month to
is it
just
10?
Watch. I'm just assuming.
It was fine.
Okay, let's assume it's comparable to Netflix. People already have Netflix. I'm not going to get two streaming services just to watch one show.
This show, Star Trek, will definitely supplant Game of Thrones as the most pirated show.
I really want to see it, and I want it to be great, but I don't know of anyone that I've talked to who is definitely going to get the streaming service. I know that I'm not. So. That's pretty soon too, right?
Sometime this fall. One thing that does bug me about it, which just comes from time, is the technology looks so much more advanced than it did in the original Enterprise.
What are you
going to
do?
What are you going to do
they can't use the old special effects they used in the 60s because people would laugh their asses off at it if you tried to pass it off today.
Right, but they, have hollow displays and everything. It's...
That's something they could avoid. They could not have a holodeck because that wasn't around until...
Well, or they could just not set the series as a prequel, and just do it as a sequel, and then you can have all that flashy shit.
I don't mind too much about the time frame.
Yeah,
the important thing about Star Trek is they need to have, good moral quandaries and ethical dilemmas and all that good stuff that makes Star Trek Star Trek.
Right. I mean, I can get over that, but that's always going to bug the nitpicky nerd in me.
Yeah, fortunately, Star Trek is not about and you can do that sort of stuff with pretty rudimentary special effects.
And I've been watching a lot of the original series here lately, and not all that holds up to time.
Larry, don't start a fight with me right now. We're so close to there.
It's kind of like the dialogue and stuff. Some of it's kind of rough.
Yes, that's true.
I'm not saying the stories and stuff aren't good.
William Shatner's acting has never been fun to watch.
I disagree with you. I enjoy watching his acting. I wouldn't say his acting is good. But I enjoy watching it.
It's kind of spoiled for you by knowing what an asshole William Shatner is in real life. In that he does probably think it was good acting.
Well, I think his direct quote was he was so concerned about it being so good, he just put so much of himself into it. It's all the other things. Some of the dialogue is a little... It's not written... The story and the plots are good, but some of the dialogue is written to older standards than TV, this golden age of TV we have today.
You're correct. Over the course of time, things have gotten more refined. It's like reading a golden age comic book. The dialogue's not the same.
So,
but the broad strokes still hold up both in golden age comic books and on old TV shows like
this. Yeah.
And undeniably, pound for pound, TNG is a better show. But Star Trek was important. And the stuff that was the best about it, I think that stuff holds up. And I think that is the story and the plots.
Well, right. I've been watching it with my wife, who hasn't seen a lot of the Star Trek and as much sci-fi as I have. And it just reminds me how much sci-fi has ripped off from Star Trek.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many... I've seen this four different versions. Okay. I remember this. All right, this is what happens now. All right, yeah. So, I don't know. But, it's still worthwhile. But we had to take a break from it after a couple seasons of that.
There's only three.
twice as long as any other season. After 30 episodes, we had to take a break. Yeah. Because it was too much for me.
There's only three seasons. You watching the animated show series too?
Oh, I forgot that was the thing.
Really? You were talking about bad acting and special effects.
Even by standards of the time, that was some shit animation.
Yeah.
Molly 2.
Do we have final thoughts? Or?
I purchased Splatoon 2 today. I'll try that out when I get home. I would offer to bring it in and show you guys next week, but I'm thinking I need Wi-Fi for that one, which...
Splatoon?
Oh, yeah, it's... it's basically a shooter game, but instead of shooting bullets, you shoot everywhere. Well, you shoot paint everywhere. And the objective is not necessarily to defeat your opponents, although you could do that, but to paint as much of the arena with your team's color as you possibly can.
That's a really fun game.
It is a fun game. I mean, yeah. Nintendo...
undeniably is great at making fun. Splatoon was one of the highlights of the Wii U, and hopefully now that it's on a system that people actually are.
People actually are.
They'll reach a wider audience. I'll let you guys know next week how good or bad it is. Which I'm sure it'll be good. Well, that's my final thought.
So, I don't know if any of you guys have heard this news. I mean, you guys aren't as big into Transformers as I am, but the new lead for the Bumblebee spinoff movie has been announced, and it is going to be John Cena.
I'm flabbergasted by this news.
I figured you would be.
It's more about they're actually going forward with the Bumblebee spin-off.
They are. It's actually already begun filming.
Damn. John Cena's a likable enough guy.
He's a likable enough guy. He's definitely better than Shia LaBeouf. But, So, you know.
I'm just picturing.
And they can't do anything worse to the franchise.
See, I get that they're probably going to make John Cena.
But
like,
they've already done.
He's probably going to be in the same role as like Mark Wahlberg has been, where he's like a tough guy, action guy.
The thing that I'm looking forward to the most is I want to know what his name is, because Mark Wahlberg's character's name is Cade Yeager. That's like one of the most stupid '90s. Names ever. I want to see what John Cena's fictional name is, because it's got to be something equally as ridiculous and stupid.
But even though I know it's not what they're going to do, I really want John Cena to be like a character who's like a little kid from the old cartoons. Jeepers, Mr. Bumble. Yeah. It would be absurd, but
so,
I would very much enjoy
the real question is, which robot is he going to do a wrestling move to?
John Cena suplexes Star Trek. John Cena's thing is like the...
Yeah, it's that you can't see me.
Yeah.
Which was my joke, because I heard he was casting, and I was like, well, I guess I can't see the movie now.
Well, in other Transformer news, Grimlock is getting a magic card.
I did hear about that. I want that magic card.
So Hasbro is doing a HasCon.
Yeah, they do that.
They will be doing a set of magic cards featuring various Hasbro characters. There will be an artifact called the Sword of Dungeons and Dragons. There will be an artifact... Well, they're all going to be silver bordered joke novelty cards.
Yeah,
you know.
I guess, but like,
and one of them is going to be Grimlock.
Can you like name it like Orcus's staff or something like that?
Then you don't. Then everybody wouldn't get the reference.
Just make it for the nerds. You're playing Magic the fucking Gathering. I think there's some crossover there.
No lies. There's no crossover there.
Well, you know. Arguably, there's a lot more people that play Magic than D&D.
Oh, undeniably.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean...
And,
I feel like you have to have a lot more time in your schedule to play D&D than Magic. You can play Magic. You can play several games of Magic in, you know, half an hour, whereas if you're going to sit down and play D&D, you're going to play it for
several
hours.
Well, you know, there's a worldwide international industry where people get paid, make their living doing nothing but playing Magic.
Yeah. Objectively, Magic obviously has to be a lot more lucrative. You might purchase the box set the one time, it's dice, but you don't even really have to do that. You can just purchase, you know, a rule book and some dice, and you're probably good to go.
Right. Whereas Magic is almost reached sport level, you know, as far as the events that go on and stuff like that.
There's always new cards coming out to give them more.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, there is multiple events every weekend where they give away $50,000. There's four events a year where they give away, $300,000. There's an event every year where they give away $1 million. I mean, then those are the non-wizards. I mean, those are the wizard-sponsored events, which they don't run. They actually. Then there's when you get into the non-wizards, there's multiple people that have $10,000 and $20,000 tournaments every weekend. So legitimately, wherever you are, there is a five-figure prize within 3 hours. You know, and or at least in America. Now, there is Wizards has, you know, 50-some-odd tournaments that they do with the $30,000, $50,000 prize, and those are all over the world. Yeah. In every continent, there's going to be multiples, you know. Every couple of months, there'll be at least one or two per continent every couple of months. I know in America there's one every weekend, you know, somewhere. Yeah, so I mean, there is no actual sport, you know, that one could make, you know, that kind of chances. You'd have to go into like where anybody could, any Joe Blow could walk and attempt to compete for those kind of prizes, short of poker or something like that.
Poker, everyone is like literally using the same cards. Like, there's some magic. There's some skill involved in putting your cards together. Although I would be curious to see how much. You see the same deck show up in every tournament.
Depends on the format. Like, the format where they do the standard, where it's only the most recent stuff, you know, you tend to see a lot more of the same deck. Like, 75% of the top 32 were all this one red burn deck of the last big event. Yeah, 75% or so. Well, you know.
Draws the card they need fastest.
A lot of times, but even then, you know, if you have skill at something, you know, and then the other person doesn't, even given the same tool set, you know, there's only so much luck is going to help.
That's true, but at the same time, I feel as though there's optimal skill. You reach, like, terminal skill after a while, right? It's like, there's only so many things a card can do. You have to master how to use them in every way that they can be used. Presumably, at the top tier of the game, everyone knows that, like, the different uses of the different cards. And every clever trick has been thought of by these master players.
Right, but even with standard, you know, I mean, you're talking about in the standard environment, you're going to have up to, let's see, 2,000 different cards. Now, give or take, not in standard. Well, they do actually now in standard, but it depends. But yes, they can ban stuff here and there. But other than just whatever interactions, you know, that there's the trying to figure out read your opponents and stuff like that. There's certain skills that aren't involved in the cards. You know, being able to bluff someone and stuff like that. Very similar like you would in poker. You know, instead of you bluffing them to get them to make a big bet, you're trying to get them to swing in an attack or this or that, you know. There's a lot of on-the-fly statistics and stuff like that you're running through your head. Yeah. Oh, the other magic card was a Nerf War card. Yeah. Which was a card you tapped it to shoot a Nerf gun at your opponent's deck and remove stuff from the game. And, the cards are all supposed to be from an upcoming joke set. Yeah, but
I'm trying to think of other Hasbro properties they can make use of. You mentioned Transformers, you mentioned the
D&D and Nerf. There's also a gold dragon token. Yeah. Where they're using actually the art of the gold dragon from the D&D book. Oh, and the Grimlock one, It's a transforming creature, so, so one where it's the car, you know, it's the dinosaur, and one where it's just the robot, yeah. And of course, they chose Grimlock because the fall set is going to have dinosaurs.
Uh-huh.
So, and this is going, it pumps up dinosaurs or vehicles, you know, and vehicles were in the last set, yeah. You know, so there's.
Maybe if you use Optimus Prime for the vehicle set?
No.
Damn.
Well, that is good. I mean, that'd be a fun
part. But. Anyway, yeah, it's a neat crossover. It's kind of an expensive convention to go to.
I bet.
But we'll see. Other than that, we might have a special guest in a couple of weeks, maybe.
Special. I think you're special, Taylor.
Yes.
Thanks, Adam.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'll never.
You're an asshole, though.
What? That I thought you were special?
Yes.
Well, I didn't think you were special. I was thinking you were special, but yeah.
Wow, that melts my heart, Larry.
One other thing I noticed watching a lot of Star Trek here lately, I don't think they can get away with that short of skirts on modern TV over the air. Because, I mean, you know, there's not one instance where I'm like, yeah, O'Hara can't bend over in that skirt. That just would fly on prime time nowadays. And a lot of the situations seem like they would be like, that wouldn't go over well with the PC police. But.
Yeah, that's probably something that would
be. Which is ironic.
Since Star Trek helped create the PC police.
Yeah.
I mean, Star Trek was an extremely progressive show, but. Yeah, they could probably get away with having a little less short skirt.
Because. You even look at that Next Generation when they had the galactic cheerleader outfits. Those weren't nowhere near as short.
They mostly just wore pantsuits on Next Generation.
Not during the first season.
Yeah, I guess I don't remember that.
The very first season. Go back and watch it. They all had miniskirts on. But they were still longer than the
classic. Because
classic, yeah.
Then Troy always had her like yoga jumpsuit thing that she wore.
She's the one who coined the phrase galactic cheerleader. Yeah. Anyway, we'll catch you next week here at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee. You can find us online.
I just sound so enthusiastic about that.
You go to hell.
At facebook.com. Our comiccity2.com, our outrightgeekery.com, or check out any of the wonderful other podcasts that some of these people here participate in. I hear y'all do something about instruments that you break on stage or something.
Yeah. We do Instruments of Destruction, which is our Hasbro comic book podcast. So those come out on, I believe they usually come out on Tuesdays, so...
Then don't you do something with This Geek in Comics, or is that all Gomer?
That's Gomer and David.
Yeah. I actually usually don't have my comics read by the time Zenny rolls around, so I very rarely get We do participate in, I can't remember the name.
All Right Geekery Super Fun Time Explosion Show.
I'm not as upset that I didn't remember that. Yeah, we do that too.
Yeah, but you can only listen to that show if you're a patron on Patreon.
Yeah.
Like Joshua.
And then you just sit there and you drop
them.
Anyway, good night, Elaine.
Yeah, whatever. See ya.
Good night, Elaine.
I'm hungry.
I am pretty hungry.